All right, so tonight's study, where is that taken from? Psalms 131, verses 1 to 3. It's a short one, but it's the study was not short. There was lots to talk about. And the title is, Whom Shall He Teach Knowledge? And Whom Shall He Make to Understand Doctrine? And that will be, we'll talk about that verse later on. A Song of Degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. So you can understand why the title is what it is. Just reading that through quickly. Hoping in the Lord and waiting on the Lord is what we do when we hope in his word. And it is with our hope of glory within us, Jesus Christ, that we can possess our souls patiently as we go from glory to glory or from obedience to obedience as we abide in that word. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. And every man that has this hope in him, that is to have the Spirit of God within you, purifies himself, even as he is pure. To whom God would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, both inwardly and outwardly. We are called witnesses for that reason, because the world will understand that hope of glory within us one day. For today, God tells us, in your patience possess you your souls. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit, another way of thinking about liberty is how the Spirit quickens us. So when we're brought to our wit's end, we cry out, and then the Lord gives us that right perspective. He strengthens us, and he gives us the ability to carry our cross, to go forward, to forget what's behind us, and to keep pressing forward. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, one body, the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. For unto you, and this is what it means to continue in the word, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken. That's believing. Coming to that point where you believe, like those who came before Christ, and he was telling them, you're not a disciple indeed, unless this is what happens, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And that grinding is like the Tower of Siloam that Christ talked about. That's the judgment upon us that is very calculated and measured by our Lord. He knows what we have to go through to become, to take that lower seed and to be raised as kings and priests, to have a very high honor to bring truth to the rest of the world. Everyone who has this hope of being able to overcome and drink the cup in this life purifies himself even as he is pure and will find liberty through that process. And that's, again, why it's called the Song of Degrees, of having the veil ripped. So that's the process we're all enduring together, because we know the veil is represented by the flesh, and the flesh is the body of Christ, and it's the Spirit of God in us that enables us to endure that ripping and that breaking and that binding process that we're going through. And behold, the veil of the temple, which we are, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. By a new and living way, it says in Hebrews 10:20, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, the church, his body, that is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. So Galatians 2:20, this is what it means to have that veil rent. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, because the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The bread is the body. We are that body that's being broken for each other. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. God's elect will go from obedience to obedience, experiencing the grace and faith of God that teaches us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And in doing that, we will be as a weaned child. So that word, of course, Titus 2, verses 11 to 14, is paiduo, to train up a child, discipline, chasten, instruct, learn, teach. Every man that has this open and purifies himself, even as he is pure. That's that training, that purification process is a training. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just down the road, but every day as we die daily. Lord, we're hoping, you know, be there, strengthen us, and help us to see Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Help us to believe that you're with us. You're never going to leave or forsake us. You're going to purify us. You're going to take us through this life, and that's going to be the witness. And as we see, the last verse of the study tells us that reality, why God's doing that. He is taking us through this life by his power. Okay. This is what makes the weaning process possible, so that we can become as children before our Father. Like as I said, Titus 2:12 and Matthew 18 verses 3 and 4, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God is working with his people and has given them an altar that no one else can eat at this present time. And there's a verse in Isaiah that says that the holstay of bread, the holstay of water, it's not there. And that is not because the word, the physical, the words are not available, but rather because the heart of mankind is not changed by God's design and remains haughty with eyes lofty of our first verse tonight. Exercising ourselves in great matters or in things too high for me. Until the Lord humbles us under his mighty hand. So it's who we all are. It's just the natural thing that flesh does. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. It says in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And if we were granted that, will bring great unity in the body of Christ. That's taking the lower seat, and that's where we want to be, because that's where God would have us all be, and that's the lesson that we will bring to the world. We weren't trying to do anything other than what the Lord wanted us to do.
On out there, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This is the pattern of ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So, not operating in the measure of faith, resisting against the government that's there. That's what God is showing us. That yet carnal part of us must continue, that we must continue in until the Lord deems we have wandered long enough in the wilderness. and have been made ready through that experience of evil to be weaned of his mother or given increase from our father. What does that one say there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. So that's the process that we're going through. All those men of war that are warring against Christ, that are not taking the lower seat, are being destroyed until that trial is over. That 40 years represents tribulation. Unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that flows with milk and honey. The man-child who represents the elect has been weaned and is being weaned of Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, who we are commanded to come out of her, my people. Now the verse from the title of the study, Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Hebrews 6:1-3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. So that's the principle. If we abase ourselves, if God will grant us that, then in due time, like Peter said to Christ, we've given up everything to follow you. We lost all of these things. He lists a whole bunch of things. And Christ turns and says, everyone who's done that, and of course, he's the one who has to give us the strength to do it, but he tells them everyone who does that will, you know, be restored and be kings and priests ruling over the nations. So he tells them that. He says there's a throne. There's a reason why you're losing all of these things today, why you're being separated from your brother today. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The short Psalm 131 has a very powerful message for God's people in regard to how we can overcome that haughty heart and the lofty eyes that do not reflect the only heart that Christ tells us can inherit the kingdom of God. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's really saying, unless you're weaned from the milk and you're blessed to go beyond those principles, that you can't be a mature son. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. So if we've been humbled, we can graft people in to the body of Christ. We can help others come in. And that's really telling. If we're offending little ones, then there must be something wrong with our spirit. But God says if we humble ourselves, we are blessed because we're being prepared to enter into the kingdom, to be resurrected, but we're also able to receive others who God deems to be called in this age, whoever he's going to call. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea, which is really what would happen because the depth of the sea is just the flesh. You're operating in your flesh and you'll have to, if that's what God's written in our book, then that will result in coming up in the second resurrection. So there's a tremendous message there of just, Lord, help us to be like that child that he expects us to be, so we can work and grow together and graft each other more and more deeply into the body. In this study, we'll look at whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine, and see that it is them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, those who are being judged in this life, in other words, not having the sword depart from their house, so that many hearts may be revealed. 2 Samuel 12:10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Luke 2:35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Which is really just a parallel thought, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And Mary represents the church, and David represents the church. It represents Christ and the body of Christ. So that's our blessing, to not have that sword depart from our house. A song of degrees of David. Lord, verse 1, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. These following verses explain what is naturally within every man, that until that haughty spirit is destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. Isaiah 14:12-16. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? So, of course, there's an inward application, and just right there, I'll come up just a bit. Then this is an interesting parallel verse, Isaiah 14:16 and 2 Thessalonians 2:2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So know that he who is in you is greater than him who is in the world. We can look narrowly at our past and think, boy, I was a wretched man, and who will deliver me from this body of death? But as we mature and grow, we grow in that confidence that that hasn't changed. I'm still in flesh. There's nothing good in my flesh, but I am more than a conqueror through Christ. And so now we have this, that you be not soon shaken in the mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Right now, this is the day of the Lord. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms within? That man of perdition, who seemed to have such power over our kingdoms within, who seemed to be able to rule over us, and we couldn't make war with that beast. And yet God says that is no longer the case. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God? He operates outside the measure of faith, as we all did. Does not by those actions demonstrate faith and understanding that God is sovereign over all. So by acting that way, we demonstrate that we don't understand that God is sovereign. And that's just where God has us, when he has us there. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that's mentioned 5 times. I will, I will, I will, I will. It's the spirit of believing that, you know, you're in control of your destiny. That God has not written your book. You're writing your book. You're in control, which is a lie. And these verses in Jude really demonstrate what that lie is within us until it's destroyed. So we can read this, and I used to read this, and I surely thought of everyone else except for me, but it's speaking of me. It's speaking of what's in each of us and what God has to destroy. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's really another way of saying you will drink the cup, because that's what drinking the cup is having that man of perdition destroyed and taken off the throne at all costs, no matter what it takes, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's the reward, being able to share the gospel with the rest, not letting anyone take your crown. Realize the reward. Understand that our suffering, our giving up of our life is very precious to God. That death is precious. That dying daily process is precious. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And we will reveal those hearts when saviors come up on Mount Zion. Will be used to reveal many hearts. The many really is the rest of humanity. Christ comes on the scene in the flesh and on several occasions reveals that before we know him, we are of our father, the devil. And this news does not go over well with anyone who hears it for the first time. John 8, 44 to 47, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And those are rhetorical questions for us to answer, and we know the answer. He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, but we all were. We all are. We are all initially of our father, the devil, and being born of fornication is symbolic language that tells us that our words, our doctrine, our children are born out of spiritual fornication when we are of our father, the devil. We have one Father, even God. This is what they were telling Christ. In 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Someone's not muted there. Thank you. John 8:59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And that's really symbolic language too, isn't it, of how we go through this life. God makes a way for us in the sea to go through this life. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. When we are not of God, we do not hear the words of God or gladly receive them. And even when we do initially hear them, it is on stony places, and anon with joy receiveth it. We find out that we have not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So not having root in yourself, Romans 11:18. Boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root thee. It's like, why do you glory in those things which God has given you, as if you've done them, is what we're being told there. Jude 1:12, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And we live that. And then, God willing, we go beyond that. And then we really truly become that tree planted by the water, by the riverside, all by the grace and the faith of God. The process of being weaned from the milk and going on to be a mature, to be matured by the meat is explained as being able to hear the word in a good and honest heart that hears and understands that word and then works with it, bringing forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So the words and the works are connected. He that receives the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives the seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it. Read here and keep the sayings of the prophecy, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, 60, and some 30. So, and if God is working that process in us, we will get there, but we have to go through those stages, and nothing is linear, like Gail always reminds me. We're working toward that as a body of Christ, and we're all helping each other come to that place where we have that 100-fold, some 60, some 30. A son of perdition who has not changed is referred to as Lucifer, son of the morning, because it is that false light that twists scripture that is being spoken about when we read of, oh, Lucifer, son of the morning. And Satan has been twisting God's word from the foundation of the world. And of course, that man of perdition, we went over that, is us. This is Isaiah 14 is speaking about who we are until we're not. Eve was deceived by that word, seed that was sown by the enemy. In other words, he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? And we know the rest of that parable. He said, no, let them both grow together. So Eve was deceived by that word and was in that sense impregnated with a corrupt seed from her father, the devil, that would multiply and grow and fill the whole earth as it did. In 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. She had no choice in the matter and could not make war with the beast in her, with the beast in her that naturally was drawn to Satan's twisting of doctrine. God has called the elect to learn that he is working all things according to the counsel of his own will. The light and the darkness that he is in control of and are the same unto God because they are perfectly controlled by him to fulfill his purpose for all humanity. And that's such an important point to remember. His purpose is to have one holy seed change the course of history. That's Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Abraham being a type of Christ, all speaking of the church and the elect seed, that one seed that God had in mind from the foundation of the world. And being the only begotten of the Father, Christ was, and never having been of his father, the devil, Christ is our hope of glory within, who witnesses to us through God's Spirit, which is what Romans 8:16 says. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are begotten now, that we are his begotten sons and daughters who are loved of our Father, having that seed within us. The weaning process that we are called unto now is described in many ways and understood with this verse in Colossians 1:24, which we're very familiar with. But this is really what the weaning process is. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affections of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And that's coming from a man who we all agree with was the chief of sinners, right? No, we know that's speaking of all of us. And that's the beautiful thing about it. God says, I'll make my strength perfect through the weak of the world. And they will be humble. They will take the lower seed because I'm going to make that work. I'm going to make it work so that the world sees this is all being done to my glory, not to our glory, but to his glory. And there's the definition of Lucifer. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? The morning star. And then these other words here. I didn't go too much into this. I just put the definition down. And there's some occurrences here throughout the word. And it's a good study because it does show us that it's truly talking about humanity. It is talking about Satan too, but it's talking about how we are of our father, the devil, and how we are his children. So until we're not, until we're begotten. And so everyone is painted with the same brush. God is not a respecter of persons. And we know that. And that's comforting to know that, because we know that we're grafted in. He tells us to be, you know, to have that reverence and that understanding that we are here by the grace of God. Verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. To quiet ourselves as a child that is weaned of his mother is speaking of what happens to my soul. When this ongoing event is happening in our lives, spoken of in Luke 12:5. So this is another way of saying how is our soul weaned? For I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Obey his commandments, fear him. Be mindful that God is working with us, working with a conceited heart that would naturally rise up if he didn't chasten us and scourge us and give us trials that teach us to learn obedience through that suffering. So this is what Christ is telling us. This is our life. This is it right here. And this is what, if we're being judged in this age, this is what we know is happening. And hopefully we're thankful. We're coming to that point where we say, Lord, I know you're in the middle of this. I know you're in the middle of my trials. I know that this is all for the good of each other and for this precious body that will one day be able to pull all the world out of that pit of deception and blindness and heal them. Right after Christ shows us whom we should fear, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell, yea, I say unto you, fear him. Right after he explains this, he explains through a parable both the means by which God is able to cause those to fear him as he works with us in this age, and shows us as well through the parable how attentive or wakeful over this sovereign process he is through grace and faith in our lives, that is saving us and is represented by 5 sparrows and 2 farthings. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? We're not forgotten. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Christ shows the elect in this parable that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and that we are not forgotten before God, and goes on to remind us that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, reminding us that he is in the details of our sonship and maturing in him. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Many are called and few are chosen. And God is not a respecter of persons with this statement, but rather is expressing to his elect that those who those who he is working with in this life, I think I messed something up here, but rather is expressing to the elect that those who he is working with in this life to form the government of God, that's better, are of more value than many sparrows. Not because we are better, but simply because we are this critical foundational part of his plan that is the super spiritual structure that he has been planning to form from the foundation of the world. For the many sparrows, he's doing it for the rest, all of humanity, who will be saved in time through through the church, through those saviors, will come up on Mount Zion. With that in mind, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I've asked myself that. Why is it God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom? Is it just for us that it's his good pleasure? No, because this is the foundation. We're those few sparrows, five and the two that are talked about there, that have the witness of Jesus Christ and have the grace of faith working in our lives, so we can be that foundation that will save the many sparrows. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. To be weaned from the breast in spiritual terms is to be matured through our trials and to come to know continually in our hearts and minds that we must keep under ourselves and forget what is behind us. So we're always going to be our own worst enemy. We have to die daily and know that the Lord is bringing that into our hearts and into our remembrance. Forget what's behind us and press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling in him, while we understand that we are unprofitable servants who did that which was expected of us. So it's a twofold thing going on all the time. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants which have done that which was our duty to do. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is at that day, the day that we are truly convinced that we can overcome Satan and all the powers of darkness, because he who is in us is greater than him who is in the world, that we can, having done all, stand. We can stand when we take unto you the whole armor of God, acknowledging that it is the Lord who is giving us the ability to stand, knowing that boasting is excluded by the law of faith. He has equipped the unprofitable servant, the weak of the world, to be able to mature in the Lord in this age by giving us the desire and ability to purchase the gold we need to become that weaned child who is settled and established through our trials that wean us off the milk. And here are some verses that talk about that. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, in white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesaw, that you may see. That's the same as being established, settled, and strengthened in the Lord. Same idea. My soul is even as a weaned child, because he has given me the power to do that, to put away the childish things that could only be overcome through Christ, and witness his power and mind working in my heavens. Christ forgave his enemies with that mind and came up against those powers of darkness in the world and overcame the evil with the goodness of God working within him. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me. So he was seeking the will, and we're seeking it every day. Thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. He reminds us that there's none good. Again, Christ said that, Jesus said unto him, why call thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Again, setting the stage for the elect to understand what is the profitable doctrine that we should always hold fast to and know, which is John 15:5, one of the many profitable doctrines. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, what we discussed earlier, the hundredfold, 60-30. For without me you can do nothing. So if we remember that, God is putting us in remembrance so we don't become conceited, boasting against the root who's doing that work in us, but rather keeping always, that's not right, looking to that glorious day when we will ultimately be delivered from these bodies of death that constantly need deliverance and will be delivered, so we can be those saviors who come up on Mount Zion. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But I have prayed for you, and this is why it can happen, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brother. So that fruit that God brings in our life through conversion is shared, and we share our life, our communion, and then we bless each other, we help each other. We know that discipleship is so critical, because the world will say, well, how did you, this little group, we shared our life, the life of Christ. We shared our trials, our sufferings. We didn't forsake the assembling of the brethren. We did what the Lord asked us to do, and lo and behold, it worked, because the Lord made it work, and we gave him all the credit for it. Overcoming and being weaned from the breast, the milk of the word, are saying the same thing. And the peaceable fruit of righteousness is born out of an obedient spirit that has quieted myself by the grace of God. Because we're not quiet at first, but what a blessing when he does bring us to our safe haven where we're just quiet. We know the Lord can do it. That's the most glorious feeling, to know that you're being held. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not. So these parables, they would not hear. They would not hear because they were not given to hear or to see. And these parables blind the masses, as we know. But for us, it's the strength that we find in the depth of God's word, being able to understand the sum of God's word, being able to rightly divide the word, and knowing that this body is equipped. We've been blessed to be equipped to do that for each other. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Going back to the idea of being begotten, but begotten with the word of truth, begotten with the word, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There'll be other fruits, but we are the first fruits. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, and the context so important, if we are those first fruits, what do we do with that word of truth? He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, because you are those first fruits, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, with that word of truth that we have been begotten of by his will. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And we had mentioned these verses before, but it's such an important point. I will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. This is that meekness that he's talking about, so the word can be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith, God, the faith that God's given us. Be not high-minded, but fear. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith. For if God spared not the natural branches, the 250 men of renown who were sacrificed for us, but instead he says, I'll take the weak of the world and make my strength perfect through them. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. So the lesson is there for us to learn. We're blessed to learn it first, to be first fruits, but we should never, ever boast in these things and take the higher seat. We are what we are. And Paul meant what he said, and we mean it. I know everyone on this call knows that's the truth. We are the weak of the world. We are the chief of sinners, because that's true of all flesh. And so God discerns our hearts, and he decides the order, because he loves all of humanity. But he's running the show, and he lays the foundation with us so that all men can be saved. Romans 11:23, finally. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if God opens their eyes and takes away that unbelief, you can't come out of unbelief. God has to open your eyes. That's what he's saying. They shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And he will, ultimately, in the lake of fire, everyone will be grafted in again. And the Lord will open their eyes. And we pray that he keeps our eyes open today. And this is really at the heart of how they're kept open, is just knowing what a gift it is. And I pray that we always are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's something that I struggle with all the time in my flesh, coming into the house of God. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth, verse 3, and forever. This is a very hopeful third verse, last verse. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever, who is able to save your souls. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. The new creature. Not the fleshly ritual or the non-ritual. It's the new creature. That's what Christ is looking at. There is a singleness or simplicity to this process of salvation that God has brought the elect to hope in. And he reminds us of the vulnerability of flesh that can be so easily sifted or puffed up, except the Lord build a house through the many joints that supply both the fervent, heartfelt prayers that avail so much for each other, along with an abiding, long-suffering spirit that drags us to the altar, where we bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we understand that we are nothing without the many members that make up our body, and that we need each other more and more because our burden is a shared burden, then those will be sure signs that one day we will be raised in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye in the first resurrection. Which is what this is saying. Let the Israel of God hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And of course, those two verses we know, not to forsake the assembling, but when we come together, exhorting each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, encouraging each other to hold on, fight a good fight of faith. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance is written before him. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, that demonstrated that we were disciples indeed, that we were disciples who were being used in that capacity. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. In a moment, oh yes, that's okay, we won't have to read that. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's that singleness, one wife, one husband, two become one. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, with the word is singleness, that is in Christ. It's so simple that it can be complicated. And that's how the devil works. When you look at the language, when he deceived the carnal, the natural mind, and Eve, it was easy for him to do it. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, which is what was happening to Eve, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. The context of that singleness being destroyed is false doctrine. That's what takes away the singleness. He's talking about doctrine, going back to that earlier concept that we talked about in the study about the corrupt seed that one seed. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, and we've just discussed all those verses, who are we? Who are Paul and Apollos, but servants? And God gives the increase. But if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, being puffed up and losing sight of the many members in one body of Christ with his words, not being weaned from the milk, resulting in the spirit that we read of here. For, well, one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Question. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Let every man, Matthew 24, 19 and 20, same concept, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And we know what that means. Pray that we can be weaned from the milk, that we're not those babes, that we are strong enough to stand and to endure unto the end through Jesus Christ. Pray that for each other. We do pray that for each other. But let every man prove his own work. You start, of course, we have to be introspective, prove your own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That doesn't mean that I'm just going to selfishly walk away all strong in the Lord. No, when we prove ourselves, it's for others. It's for bearing the burden of others. As we read, we come together with that newfound strength. We continue to grow in that strength and we hold each other up. But every man shall bear his own burden. There is work to be done. Our hope is that he will teach us knowledge through this process of judgment and make us to understand doctrine so that we can be weaned from being children and become mature sons who will bring forth spiritual fruit all the days of our life, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, notice, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to four heads will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. In the last verse, Psalms 92 verses 12 to 15, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. And we know the symbolism of the palm tree is connected to the elect. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That also is connected to the elect. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, at hundredfold, 60, 30. They shall be fat and flourishing. This is the verse I kept referring to, but this is really at the heart and core of what the Lord is doing for all of humanity, to show that the Lord is upright, all that fruit that's being born in our life, the many wonderful works that God's doing in our life to his glory, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And that's our study.